Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I'm delighted to welcome to the broadcast today a young guest. He is a freshman at King University in Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia. If you're not familiar with Bristol, it's a lovely place right on the border of Tennessee and Virginia. And King University, I believe, gets to be on the Tennessee side. Am I correct about that?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
All right. My guest is Matthew Miarez. And Matthew has a remarkable story, which was recently published in the paper there at King University. King, by the way, is a Christian university in the Presbyterian tradition. And if you want more information about that, you can go online and look up King University, and they've got plenty of info for you. But this article from the editor, and Matthew, I take it you are the editor of the paper, is that right?
I am the transitioning editor-in-chief. My current role is the sports editor, but I am transitioning into the editor-in-chief role for the following year.
Well, very good. Matthew has a remarkable story, and the title of this piece was, some might say it's a coincidence, however, I say it's a miracle. Matthew, what in the world are you talking about? What happened in your life that could be counted as miraculous in your view?
Well, I am actually a quadruplet. A lot of people don't know what that is, so that is a multiple birth. I have two brothers and a sister. We were all born on the same day, 2 minutes apart. It's not something that I really share, but when I'm asked and have the opportunity to do so, it's amazing to see the reactions. And
yeah,
actually, recently, before I'd been asked to write a column for that month, and I'd actually had a conversation with a student here at King, and as part of my job, and we had a conversation and started talking about, you know, life and how a lot of times, you know, things happen for a reason, and so I was able to share my story, and he was able to share his, and you know, he said that, you know, it was amazing to hear my story. You know, to him it was coincidental, and so I began to think about, you know, how, you know, it's not coincidental. You know, God is a God of miracles. You know, nothing that passes by him is anything coincidental.
Amen. He's a sovereign God, and he is always at work in every situation. Even when people do terrible things, God is able to turn them for good. In this case, your mother was urged to do a terrible thing, and instead she chose to do the right thing. What did the doctors tell her when they found out she was carrying you and three siblings at the same time?
Well, as to be expected, she had some major health complications because of it, and was in the hospital for most of her pregnancy. And the doctors kept a close check on her, and as time began to be closer to the pregnancy date, she was advised to abort at least two of the siblings, if not all of us, in order to make sure that her health was not on the line, and even with aborting two, possibly making sure that the other two that would survive would also, their health would not be on the line.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she, based on recollection of, you know, the story that she has told me, you know, she prayed about it, and it really wasn't a decision for her. It was going to be the rest of her life. And so, you know, she, it really, you know, she knew what the right decision was. There was no question in her mind, and so, you know, she refused to do that, and with that decision, you know, possibly could have come some major health complications, but fortunately, we all four did make it and are pretty healthy and are doing well.
That's great. How's your mom doing?
My mom is doing very well.
Good. I was rather well known years ago in the city of Atlanta. It was not infrequent for me to be in the newspaper or on the evening news or even on at least one occasion on CNN because of my outspoken position concerning abortion and the sanctity of life. Some people appreciated that. Other people seemed to like me in spite of that. And then there were some people who absolutely hated me and felt that it was completely uncalled for a man to speak to such issues because, after all, I'm a man and therefore not able to carry a child. So what would I know and what right do I have to speak on the subject? Well, one evening, I was seated in the front row of a beautiful concert that was about to start. The people on the stage were all in formal attire, and it was the orchestra. It was already playing sort of a prelude, and an older woman came over to me and sat down next to me, and she said, "You're Jim Wood, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, I need to tell you my story." She said, "Years ago, I was in a difficult situation. I was carrying a child, and the doctor said there was no way that that child would survive, but if I carried that child to term, it would very likely end my life. And I already had two small children, and a husband who would be hard-pressed to continue his job supporting the family and take care of those two little ones if something happened to me." And so she said, what was I to do? I didn't want to leave my other children without a mother. But I couldn't find justification in taking the life of the child that I was carrying. So she said, I prayed hard, and I concluded that I needed to simply trust God, because my life could end anyway, even if I had the abortion. I could still lose my life and my children lose their mother. But I knew that God was able, and I knew that he was in control. So I prayed hard, and I continued the pregnancy. And then she pointed and she said, "And you see the concert mistress who's up there on the platform?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "That's my daughter. That's the baby that they said couldn't make it. That's the one they said there was no way." And she said, "I just want to thank you for encouraging women to let their children live." There are so many stories out there, but I believe they all need to be told. I believe that women who are faced with difficult choices and a scary prognosis from a doctor who's often trying to protect himself or herself in case something does go wrong, I believe women and dads and parents need to hear the stories of people who've made the right choice and allowed these little ones in the womb to live. And I know full well that things don't always go the way we hope. They don't always go the way we pray. But I would so much rather suffer the sorrow of things not turning out the way that I wanted, but having done what I believed was right, than to have to suffer the sorrow of things not going the way that I wanted and having the additional guilt of knowing that I'd done something that was wrong. Now, let me right at this point, and Matthew, I'm going to come back to your story in a moment, but let me be sure and clarify. I have precious friends who've had an abortion, sometimes more than one abortion, and they have had a hard time often embracing the grace and forgiveness that is ours in Christ Jesus. Whatever you've done, if you're listening today and you say, well, you know, I wish I'd heard this before, but now it's too late for me to go back. It is too late for you to go back. It's not too late for you to go to the cross. Jesus died to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. And as some have said, that's because I hadn't been born yet. The fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't come to save people who've never done anything wrong or who haven't done a lot of things wrong. He came to save sinners. He came to save people like me who deserve hell. Like Matthew, your mom, Matthew, gave birth courageously to all four of you, and all four of you made it, and she made it, and thank God for that. But you know what? All four quadruplets that she gave birth to are sinners. You're all sons of Adam.
Sons of Adam, a daughter of Eve.
All right, so we got three sons of Adam and a daughter of Eve. And all four of you deserve hell. You're not just sinners. You're sinners by nature, and you've demonstrated from your earliest opportunity by sinning that indeed you are sinners. Now, is it really worth risking our lives in order to give life to somebody who deserves hell? Yes. Yes is the answer. Because the fact of the matter is, God is the author of life. I heard a story this week, and Matthew, I don't know if you've seen this or not. It was in today's news, and by the time this airs, it'll be old. But it was a story about a number of women pastors in Iowa who were upset that the Iowa state legislature was trying to defund Planned Parenthood in the state of Iowa. And they were writing to say that they think it's wrong to defund this organization that does so many abortions and sometimes other things too, but their main business, regardless of what they say, is abortion. And they're doing it, even though they say not so, they're doing it at taxpayer expense. And in many cases have been found guilty of many, many other criminal things, just abominable things. And people say, well, you know, they say that's not so. Well, check it out for yourself. Go and try and get a mammogram at Planned Parenthood and see if they are able to accommodate you. They won't. But anyway, these women pastors were saying that it's wrong to defund Planned Parenthood, and they went on to say that it is wrong for people to use their religious convictions to try and influence the law. Now, that's just a fascinatingly stupid argument, because if I want to kill women pastors, and by the way, I have a dear friend who's a woman pastor, so that's not what this conversation's about. But if I decided that I wanted to kill women pastors because I don't think women are supposed to be pastors, so anybody who is a woman and becomes a pastor must be a terrible person, and I'm going to take them out. That's illegal. I would be prosecuted, as well I should. But why is it illegal? Well, because it's wrong. Well, who are you to say it's wrong? If I believe it's right, who are you to force your morality on me? The argument in favor of abortion is absolutely hypocritical. It is completely unsustainable, except on the basis of emotion. So, I come back to you, Matthew, to your story. You say in this article, recently I thought about what would have happened if she had said yes, that is your mom. The truth is that I would likely not be here today. Now, Matthew, for you, you would not be aware of the loss. But for your mom, for your dad, for your siblings, for other students at King University, where you're the new editor of the Caseian. I mean, the loss is beyond our ability to calculate. It's a tremendous loss when life is discarded as if it didn't matter. God says that He is the creator, He is the sustainer, and Jesus says, not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father's notice. And you are worth more than many sparrows, Jesus says. So, Matthew, as you look back on what God has done in your life, what would you say to a woman, whether a young woman in a unanticipated pregnancy, or perhaps an older woman who's experiencing health problems and concerned about the viability of a pregnancy? What would you say as one who survived the womb when the doctors wanted your mother to take your life? What would be your argument to them?
Well, and a lot of times we try to use, you know, as followers of Christ, a lot of times we try to you know, go back to the Bible and see, you know, what does He say about certain topics? And so the funny thing is, it never, quote, mentions abortion in the Bible. On the other hand, it talks about the sanctity of life, you know, the fact that at the end of the day, you know, it's not our choice to decide who lives and who dies. You know, that's God's. And so when I look at a life, when we look at babies and, you know, we look into their, you know, cute eyes and, you know, their form and, you know, they're perfect. And so in essence, we think they're innocent, and, you know, they are, because, you know, they're born into a world of sin, and, you know, they're going to sin. There's this argument of where, if, you know, before a child is actually born from the womb, that it's not a human life. And I would have to disagree, because, you know, conception is a gift from God, and, you know, to have the ability to produce a child is utterly amazing. And so it's cool to see that, you know, even before a child is even developed, fully developed in the womb, you know, you see a child's legs flopping in the womb. You can feel it. You know, you're nourishing, and you're taking care of the child before it's even born.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, anybody that has had a child can testify that, you know, having children are a gift from God. It's a blessing and not a curse. And so we make mistakes as humans, and so, you know, those that have had children and are not ready to have them, or those that cannot take care of them, or, you know, those that they don't want children, I hope they realize that there are other answers besides killing an innocent life, because I personally believe that abortion is murder. But I also hope that they understand that no matter what you've done, and no matter who other people say you are, It's important to realize that Christ looks at you differently, and Christ doesn't look at you, you know, as a murderer, as someone who aborted a child. Christ looks at you as, you know, as a son and as a daughter, and He loves you, and, you know, He wants to have a relationship with you. And so, you know, I think it's important that, you know, that we realize that, and you know, whatever you've done, and that you take that before the cross, and, you know, let Him carry that burden for you, because it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
So I encourage anybody that's holding that burden of killing an innocent life, or, you know, not necessarily making the right decision when it comes to human life, that, you know, that your life's not over, that, you know, you're still on this earth for a reason. And so I'd encourage you to let go of whatever that is, and cling to the cross and cling to Him, and, you know, He'll change you, and he will turn your life around.
Amen. Amen. Matthew, my oldest son was born with severe birth defects, spina bifida, hydrocephalus. He's paraplegic. He's at age 38, had over 40 surgeries. His life has been very, very, very difficult. You will not find a more pro-life person on the planet than my son, Paul. He is so grateful that he was given life, and that even though the doctors regarded his life as many of the doctors, not all of them, thank God, but there were many doctors along the way who regarded my son's life as just a burden and wanted us to know that we didn't have to have any more children like this. They could detect them in the womb and terminate the pregnancy. And I remember once when we were having an ultrasound done on Paul's kidneys, and the tech, who was from India, looked at me and she asked, did you not know that this child had these problems before he was born? Paul was 10 at the time and well aware of everything she was saying. And I said, yes, we did not know. We did not know. And she said, oh. And she said, because I would have thought that if you had known, you would have terminated the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, as a matter of fact, if we had known, we would have continued the pregnancy, because my son's life is precious in the eyes of God and in our eyes. And I said, unlike your culture, where humans are often treated as refuse, and by some of your people, animals are revered as divine, we believe that there is one God who created everything, and that he has given humans special dignity, regardless of their condition, whether health or financial or otherwise. Well,
amen.
As you might imagine, I let the folks at Children's Hospital in Atlanta know that I did not appreciate this woman asking in front of my son why we hadn't killed him. Because there are a lot of people out there in the medical profession who have that mindset. That's what your mother encountered. They looked at her situation and they thought, well, let's encourage her to kill some of these children in order to increase the odds for her health and for any of the children that might be spared. I'm just telling you, you better have biblical convictions if you're going to function in this world, because there are a lot of people in positions of power and influence who will try and steer you to do the wrong thing. So Matthew, I'm glad not only that your life was spared and that your siblings' lives were spared and that your mom's life was spared, but that you are telling others the story of what God has done for you and the fact that you were given not just a physical life, but that by God's grace, you've been given eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for coming on the broadcast and talking with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
God bless you, sir.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org. Folks, all across America, this is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we want to encourage you to pray for the body of Christ to rise up and stand against the abuse of children, recognizing how precious they are in the sight of God, and then get involved in making a difference in the lives of children. If you want to know how you can make a difference, one way is to support Ware's Valley Ranch. And I would certainly appreciate it if you'd go to our website today, wvr.org, stands for Ware's Valley Ranch, wvr.org, and see what God is doing in this miraculous place, we would love to hear from you. You can help us.